Let's get back to Lonesome George now and the answer to our geo quiz. Lonesome George is a Galapagos giant tortoise, a saddleback tortoise who's believed to be the last of his species. But wait, there's word that George may yet become a father. Linda Cayo is going to help us understand this. She is an expert on Galapagos giant tortoises. You must have been somewhat stunned, as we were for sure, to get word that Lonesome George is apparently lonesome no longer and he could be a father, something that seems biologically impossible.
Yes. When you have the last of a species, you look for tortoises that are most closely related to him. So we put in a couple of female tortoises with him back in 1992 in the hopes that he would produce offspring with those females. And last year was the very first time they ever nested. And this year we just got news again that one of them has nested. Unfortunately, last year the eggs were infertile, but we're hoping for better results this year.
So in 1992, that's when he first got to know these other tortoises,
yes.
Right? Yeah, but they're not the same species.
No, but Galapagos tortoises are defined, the species are defined by island, so that there is a possibility he could reproduce with a very closely related species. It would be a half Pinta tortoise.
Half what?
Pinta is the island that George is from. And tortoises were thought to be extinct there most of the 20th century. George was found in 1972 there, the very last surviving tortoise on the island, and he was brought into captivity at the Tortoise Center on Santa Cruz Island, which is where the Galapagos National Park headquarters are.
Pinta being key here because Pinta Island is the answer to our geoquiz today. It's a place where George is from. Now, why has it taken George so long to even be attracted to a female to reproduce?
George is kind of unique in that he probably spent the majority of his life alone, had no relationship with any other tortoises. So when he first got housed with tortoises, he really wasn't even interested in them at all. We did try back in the 1990s. I had a volunteer working with me in Galapagos, and we tried sexual stimulation with George, where she would tickle him and try and get him to get more interested in the females. And while she could do this with our other males in captivity within 15 minutes, she worked with George for about 4 months. And he did begin to give a bit of response, but it was never very successful.
So what happened right this time?
Fausto Gerena, who is the park warden that's been working on this program, says that last year, and we don't know why, all of a sudden George seemed to be more interested. And again, this year, we don't know. Female tortoises, much like chickens, can lay eggs that are infertile. So again, we need to wait for 120 days, the incubation period, to see if these eggs are actually fertile or if perhaps the females just laid the eggs.
Okay, so there are a lot of ifs here. I mean, George, who seems to be a late bloomer anyway, may or may not have had relations with the female tortoises.
Yes.
But you're kind of celebrating already, I think, along with others at the Galapagos. I mean, this is still a big deal, even though we'll see whether or not George's line will continue.
Yeah, it's a very big deal because the fact that those females have been with him now for over 15 years and they never nested until last year and this year, something is different. So, yes, it's exciting. It's still don't count your tortoises before they're hatched. And we have to wait, but it is exciting, and it would be great to be able to repopulate Pinta Island with tortoises that are at least partly genetically the original tortoise from Pinta.
It would be great, I guess, in theory, and certainly great for a conservationist like yourself. But what's the larger point here?
I would say that there's two things going on in conservation here, and one of them is preserving species, which we're trying to do, and the other is preserving ecosystems, in this case, the entire island of Pinta. And unfortunately, Pinta, like many of the islands in Galapagos, had goats released on it back in 1959, and the population exploded. They destroyed a lot of the habitat and vegetation. And finally, in the late 1990s, the methodologies for controlling and removing all of the goats reached a level at which we could successfully eliminate them. So now Pinta is back to near pristine conditions. The vegetation is coming back incredibly well, and now it really needs tortoises back there. And because the tortoises play, I would say, a role of the habitat engineer on the island. They're big enough that when they walk and make trails, they open areas, they make resting forms that also open areas, they transport seeds, they eat vegetation, and then transport the seeds and drop them in their feces so that they can disperse more. So they're very critical to that island, and it would be great to put tortoises back there.
By the way, George is how old now?
That's pretty much anybody's guess, but my guess is about 100 years old.
And how long do they usually live?
Again, we don't know because they live much longer than we do, and we don't have records of individuals, but from the very few records that are shown of giant tortoises, it looks like they probably live anywhere from 150 to 200 years.
Oh, wow. So he still has some pretty good years in him. How did George survive when so many other tortoises there haven't?
Okay, the history of tortoises in Galapagos is actually a very sad history, and it started with buccaneers and later primarily the whalers and fur sealers. And they would take live tortoises off the islands to have fresh meat on their ships because tortoises can live for up to 100 years, or 100 years, up to a year without food or water. So they could collect live tortoises and stack them in the hold and then just kill them when they were ready to have meat. From the whaling logs, it's estimated that during less than a century, they took somewhere between 100,000 and 200,000 tortoises off of Galapagos Islands, and many of them were the saddlebacked because they're on the smaller arid islands that are easier to access, and the tortoises are smaller, so it's easier for one or two men to carry a single tortoise. George escaped, my guess is he was too small at the time that exploitation was ending so that he would not even be seen. And then he grew up on the island by himself.
Hence his name, Lonesome George. But right now he's got a couple of females around him, I guess. And he is enclosed, or what kind? How's he living?
He has a corral. It's a rock-walled corral at the Tortoise Center on Santa Cruz. It's quite a large area. There's a constructed pond for him. There's a lot of room to roam around. And then we brought in special dirt and built two or three small nesting areas because the females need a certain kind of soil to be able to nest. So it's a large area where they can roam around. They're fed every day. They have water, and there's plenty of room for the tortoises and the nesting zones.
And by the way, where are the eggs, with George or with the females?
No, the eggs, what tortoises do is they actually bury the eggs in the dirt, and then the tortoises never go back to them, okay? So what we do at the breeding center is we dig those eggs up and put them into incubators at a temperature at which tortoises have temperature-dependent sex determination, which means that the temperature of incubation will either produce males or females.
Seriously?
So
is that,
yeah,
only with tortoises?
Seriously. From what I understand, these eggs they've put into the female temperature.
Wait a minute. Now, is that only with tortoises?
There's some snakes that have that. They don't have sex chromosomes, so the temperature actually drives. I think they all start out male, and then depending on the temperature, it will shift them. And when you think, tortoises are interesting because generally in the wild, a female could lay, say, three nests in a season. And the beginning of the nesting season is the cool season, and the end of the nesting season, you're starting to go into the hot season. So you could see where if she lay a nest in the first part of the season, it would incubate during the cool season and you'd get males, whereas her nest at the latter part of the nesting season, you're starting into the hot season and you would probably get females.
That's amazing. So the females, if the eggs do survive, if they are females, then you're going to maybe try to do things again in the cool season next time around, so there'll be some males?
Yeah, and the idea, I mean, if you got females and could raise them to adults and then breed them back with George, you would get even more painted genes in the next generation.
Yeah, but is that right?
Sure.
Is that a good idea?
That's what a lot of places do that have very few individuals of a species to work with. So you backbreed to build up the genes of the species that you're working toward. The problem with tortoises, I mean, they do this with birds. They do this with other things. Problem with tortoises is tortoises are not reproductively active until they're 15 or 20 years old. So you're talking about a very long-term program.
Do you have any way of telling right now whether or not these eggs might actually, what do we say, be hatched?
Unfortunately, we have never done, there is a technique of candling eggs, which we have never used in Galapagos. What they do when Fausto opens a nest and brings the eggs out, there are some eggs that he knows immediately are infertile. They either are liquid or there may be some rotting or whatever. The ones that they came out of this nest just this week are the right weight. They look good, you know, but we still don't know if they're fertile. And can I go back to the question about the genetics?
Yeah, sure.
Because one of the interesting things, when you look at the islands, when you have that inbreeding, you would call it, or backbreeding, you call it a bottleneck in biology because it gets very low and then you build back out. And islands are already that way because the first tortoises to arrive in Galapagos, there were probably only a couple. So you're already starting with a very closed gene pool. So what we're doing is actually very similar to the first arrival of tortoises.
Wow. So you're coming kind of full circle. Right in the Galapagos. That's so interesting. So right around Thanksgiving time, that's when you're going to be looking to see whether or not you have whether or not George has progeny.
Yes, and they'll be checking the eggs too, and it may be that we know sooner than that if they are infertile. But yeah, around November.
Linda, how long have you been working with George?
I first went to Galapagos in 1981 to do my PhD on giant tortoises. And then I went back in 1988, and for 10 years, I ran the Tortoise Center until 1998. And since then, I've been back in the U.S.
So you've known him for a long time, though.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when you know, there's the announcement that he might be a father, this must feel like kind of a family affair to you.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, and it is surprising because we don't know why it's happening now.
All right. Well,
I have a human analogy that I don't think fits, but I think it's very fun to think of. And when parents, we have been thinking about repopulating Pinta with tortoises and which tortoises are most closely related and how we could get tortoises back there without Pinta tortoises. And so we had finally come up, Española tortoises are the most closely related genetically. So we were going to start putting young Española tortoises out there. And that decision was made November before last, and then last year we had these nests. So it reminded me of humans when they're trying to have babies and can't and finally decide to adopt, and then they get pregnant. And it was sort of like, okay, how did George know we were going to put Española tortoises back on his island? I mean, that's totally the human side of things, but I just thought it was interesting.
Linda, it's really nice to talk to you, and we wish the best for you and certainly for George.
Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. Linda Cayo is science advisor to the Galapagos Conservancy, telling us about Lonesome George, the giant tortoise from La Pinta, one of the Galapagos Islands, and the answer to our geo quiz today. All the best to you both, Linda.